Go with me, if you would, back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This chapter begins by mentioning some different brethren. Verse 4 mentions Abel. Verse 5 mentions Enoch. Verse 7 mentions Noah. Verse 8 mentions Abraham. Verse 9 mentions Isaac and Jacob. Verse 11 mentions Sarah. Verse 12 says, through Isaac, about halfway into the verse, it says, a number of brethren, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. All of God's brethren, from all generations, a number as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. All of God's people, from every generation in time. Now look at verse 13. It says, these all died in faith. All of them. You think about some of these men. You think about Noah and you think about Abraham. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. You say, well, they had, you know, God spoke to them. Well, God speaks to us. They had God's word. We have God's word. They had God's promise. We have God's promise. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. And this is what they confessed, all of them. They all confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Strangers and pilgrims on this earth. That's what all of God's people have or will confess concerning their relationship with this world. The longer they go in the faith that God gives concerning Christ, and the more faith that we receive, what that faith will reveal to us is we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Something just does not fit well. Something does not fall in right with this world, with this earth. Now, why do all of them say that? And why do all of God's people see themselves to be that way? Verse 14 says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They seek a country. Well, aren't you in a country? Yes. Just not the one I want to be in. Aren't you standing on an earth already? What do you mean a new earth, a new heaven and a new earth? Aren't you standing on an earth already? Yes. Just not the one I want to be standing on. Verse 14 says, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Had God given them the desires of their flesh, then they might have returned right back to what they were pulled out of. But thank God He will not do that. There's a new creation in there. And there's a new heart and a new desire. Verse 16 says, but now they desire a better country. That is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They are seeking a new country. They desire a better country. It's one where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Our Lord said in John 14 to all of his chosen, redeemed, called people, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. They hated to see him leave. Lord, please don't leave. He said, I must go. The Comforter must come to you, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said, if you see me go, if you watch me go up, I will come again. If you see me go, that's your evidence and that's your assurance that I will come again and receive you to myself. Revelation 21 calls this New Jerusalem. It calls this place that the Lord went to prepare for his people, New Jerusalem, the holy city. Doesn't that sound nice? Right now, we all live in Sin City. Las Vegas is not the only Sin City. Kingsport, Tennessee is Sin City. But 2 Peter 3 says, there is a place that the Lord has created. It is a new earth with new heavens, and there is no sin there, only righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is a person. Everything there is Christ. Everything there. The walls are Christ. The buildings are Christ. The sun is Christ. Everything there is Christ. Christ. That's all that's there is righteousness. It's a righteous city. Where do you live? Righteous city. That's what all of God's people are going to be saying real soon. Throughout the book of Isaiah, our Lord said, it is a place, it's a city where animals don't hurt each other. How many times did he say that? Animals do not hurt each other. Everybody gets along. Nobody is sad. Isn't that what he said? Nobody is sad. Nobody cries. Because nobody feels lonely. Nobody feels guilty. Nobody feels angry. Everybody's at ease. Everybody is at ease, finally enjoying rest from all their labors as God has rested from his. And it's all because Christ is there, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. Christ is there, and Christ is all there. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to being in a place where Christ is there and Christ is all there. Christ is all everywhere, but I'm looking forward to being in a place where everyone there acknowledges that. Everybody acknowledges that that's so. Once a child of God is persuaded of all this, in Christ, and embraces all of this and desires this and looks for this and longs for this. Once a child of God has that persuasion brought to him or her, this place right here is no longer that child's continuing city. It's just not. The longer we go, the Lord weans us away from this world. It's a slow and steady weaning, but it is a true weaning. All of God's people say, they all end up saying, this is not my home. This is not my home. I'm traveling through with a tent. It doesn't matter where I live. It doesn't matter. I'm traveling with a tent. I'm trying to get from point A to point B, and I won't be satisfied until I awake with his likeness. I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim here. That's what God's people feel about themselves, and that's what the Word of God acknowledges them to be. Look at 1 Peter 1 with me. First Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Who are you writing to, Peter? He said, I'm writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That's who I'm writing to. The elect of God Almighty. The elect that God chose before the foundation of the world. Elect, verse 2 goes on to say, through sanctification of the Spirit. That means the Spirit lays hold of them and sets them apart. Sanctification is a setting apart. What are they set apart unto? Obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. They are set apart to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are set apart to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that. How wonderful is that? They are set apart unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. His works, His righteousness, His blood, His redemption. And here's what he has to say. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He said, I'm writing to the strangers scattered throughout who were elected according to the foreknowledge of God, elected, chosen to receive mercy in the blood of Jesus Christ, who are being kept through their pilgrimage. They're all being kept through this pilgrimage by the power of God until the moment comes that He calls them all home and He reveals to them the inheritance of glory that has been reserved for them. He said, that's who I'm writing to. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. He said, everything I'm saying to you, I'm saying it to you as the strangers and pilgrims that you are. Everything that this word has to say in the declaration of good news, all of it is to the strangers and pilgrims. All of it is to the souls that are passing through, just looking and hoping and waiting for that better country where Christ dwells. And this is what all of the Word has to say to them. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. This world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11 says, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what God's people feel about themselves. That's what God's people feel about themselves in this world. That's what they feel their natural condition is before God. That's what they feel they deserve before God. God's people know that that's what their sin has done to them and left them with as they are right here in this world. Strangers, pilgrims, aliens, outcasts to God. But to every soul who feels that way, this is what the gospel has to say to that soul. Look at verse 13. But God. Yes, that was your case with God. Most definitely. But God did something about it. Greatest news of the gospel. But God did something about it. You are correct. That is what you were in your flesh. But God did something about it. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, what the blood of Christ did for us. We're about to read it right here. If you know, we've all read Ephesians 2 maybe, 1,000 times? See if you enter into this like you never have before. Verse 14 says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 19 says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners to God. You were strangers and foreigners to God. But God did something about it. And in what he did for you, you are not strangers and foreigners anymore to God. Verse 19 says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In Christ, the gospel cries. In Christ, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, You have been made to be fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You are of the household of God. And once that announcement comes to the heart of a child of God, this home is no more. Once a child of God hears that, this home is no more. Listen to this. Turn with me to John 17. John 17, verse 4. Our Lord, praying to the Father, He said, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. Salvation is finished. It is finished. He said, And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Did Christ die for the whole world? He said, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. Verse 9, He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. And all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. Look down at verse 14. He said, I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at verse 22. He said, In the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one, I in them and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me. For Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me, and I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Our Lord said, They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. He said, Father, keep them. Keep them looking, keep them hoping, keep them trusting until the time comes for all of them to be gathered together with Us in our eternal home. Keep them, encourage them, strengthen them. That's what God's Word does for us as pilgrims and strangers on this earth. It keeps us, it encourages us, it strengthens us. That's what the Word does. I pray that's what this message will do. This message came from me being so blessed by an article that I put in our bulletin this morning by Brother Don Fortner. I don't know if you had a chance to read the bulletin, but the article is titled, Good News for Pilgrims. And that's what the gospel is. It's good news for pilgrims. That's what it is. It's encouragement for pilgrims. It's a continual reminder of what Christ did for us and what Christ has secured for us and what Christ has finished for us and what Christ has settled for us, what Christ has reserved for us. That's what the gospel is. It's encouragement. It's good news for pilgrims. Just listen to this article. He wrote, "Here is good news for weary, heavy-hearted pilgrims." Does that describe anybody here? Weary, heavy-hearted pilgrims. Here is good news for weary, heavy-hearted pilgrims from our homeland in heaven. Do you have heartaches and troubles too numerous to count? Every stranger and pilgrim can relate to this. Every stranger and pilgrim. Heartaches and troubles too numerous to count. He said, it will do you good to receive some good news from home. And as most of you know, our Lord called him home a couple of years ago. And as I read this, I couldn't help but think, he being dead yet speaketh. He right now is experiencing what he only wrote just a couple of years ago. But he said, it'll do you good to receive some good news from home. And here it is. He said, the Lord our God is still on the throne. Wouldn't you love to get a word from glory? We see him. Here's some encouragement. The Lord our God is still on the throne. For all of eternity, God's saints are going to be crying, praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon the throne. All of eternity. He is reigning there right now. He is reigning there right now. And our brother wrote, our Savior is still in heaven, preparing a place for you, representing you, and interceding for you. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. The promises are being kept. The word is standing sure. Your hope is just as alive today as it was the first day you heard about it. He said, there are many in heaven just like you and me already. Really? Strangers and pilgrims? Sinners? Really? He said, there is. There is a fallen David, a doubting Thomas. There is an angry Moses there, a feeble Philip there. An impetuous, that means a hasty spouting off without thinking about it, an impetuous Peter there, and a righteous Lot there. He said, all are there by grace alone. Remember that. Remember that as you become more and more disgusted by what you see in yourself. As you keep going through this pilgrimage saying, I'm just collecting more dirt and more dirt. I'm not getting any cleaner. Remember that we did not gain an entrance into glory by our own works at the beginning of this pilgrimage. And we're not going to gain an entrance into glory by our works at the end of this pilgrimage. All are there by grace alone, through the merits of Christ's blood and righteousness. That's what saved you. That's what called you. That's what will keep you. And soon, our brother said, the Lord Jesus Christ will come again to take you there. Very soon, you'll get there. Christ will get you there. Christ will come and gather you and take you when it's your turn, as he has done for so many brethren before us. He will do it. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, our Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what you call good news for pilgrims. Good news for pilgrims. That's what will keep us going. I'll never forget this. I say that, but I will if the Lord takes my mind from me. But as long as the Lord doesn't take my mind from me. Most of you know that the Lord called my mother home from cancer in 2000. And once it became very apparent that the Lord was going to call her home, I remember about 2 weeks before the Lord called her, she and I were sitting in our living room, and she was in her chair, and I was on the couch watching TV or something. And she was reading the Word, and she just started busting out laughing. And I looked over at her reading the Scripture, and I said, "What?" And she said, "Nothing." And she just smiled, and I said, "What is it?" She said, "Nope, nothing." I said, "Come on, tell me, what is it?" She looked at me and said, "I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited to go." That's comfort for pilgrims and strangers. When our time comes, He'll let us get excited. His grace will be sufficient. And it's something to get excited about. I'll tell you that. Something to get excited about. All right.